Welcome back to That One Show with the Newmans. I'm Ethan Newman.
And I'm Bethany Newman.
And today we are going to talk about Bigfoot. The mysterious Bigfoot. Legends everywhere. All across the world. You may call it Sasquatch. You may call it Bigfoot. There's a name for it everywhere. So what is Bigfoot? By definition, Bigfoot's a large, hairy, ape-like creature resembling a yeti, supposedly found in northwestern America. It is also known as a prominent or well-known journalist. But we are going to be talking about the first definition on this episode. Bigfoot is known, in addition to the definition, to be muscular, roughly 6 to 9 feet tall, and covered in hair that is described as black, dark brown, dark auburn, and the footprints are claimed to be as large as 24 inches long and 8 inches wide, and sometimes they contain claws.
Which I never heard of before. I really do think that's interesting, though, that, you know, a lot of what I've ever seen on Bigfoot, you know, like, the footprints have been human-like, without claws or anything like that. But, you know, some pictures have shown claws.
Yeah, and a lot of times what they usually end up deeming those is they claim it as misidentification of the footprints, and they compare it to bear feet, because like humans, bears have 5 toes. So you add in the claws, then, you know, if someone doesn't know what a bear claw looks like, or a bear footprint or paw print or whatever, then you get the misidentification and someone says, oh my god, it's Bigfoot.
Or I guess playing on the side of those who may believe in Bigfoot, is that something that could just be like an adaptation from like time, either with or without the claws? I mean, that could go either way. With did they lose the claws or did they gain the claws to adapt how they live?
Well, hypothetically speaking, if the prints are Bigfoot prints, not big footprints, but Bigfoot prints, then I suppose that the claws could come from some sort of adaptation. Now, what would it have adapted to? I mean, got any theories on that?
I mean, even just being hunted after, who's to say that they don't use those to climb better, or, you know, to
become more evasive?
Mm-hmm. Just like as a theory to kind of throw out there. I mean, to me, that's what popped in my head first when you said that sometimes they contain claws was, well, why do some contain claws and some don't? Is it because they did adapt over time to become more evasive because they're being hunted?
That, or maybe they just don't have a pair of toenail clippers.
I mean, that could be true too.
But but at the same time, with how evasive the Sasquatches are, I mean, it very well could be that if these claws are legitimate, then they may have adapted to using those to climb trees. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, because if Bigfoot is real, my question would be, how come we don't have really good hard evidence? We just have, you know, blurred pictures from a distance. I mean, you got photographers that are out there capturing close-up pictures of wildlife. How come they can't do that with Bigfoot?
I mean, that's definitely a valid question for sure. But at the same token, who's to say that everybody's not looking in the wrong place? We think they live out in the wilderness. Who's to say that they don't live in a different kind of climate or a different kind of, you know, playing field, basically? You know, who's to say that they're not up in the mountains and everybody thinks they're in the woods, but they're really in the mountains? I mean, who's to say that we're just all looking in the wrong place?
I mean, we could be, I guess, looking in the wrong place, but, you know, like, the sightings of Bigfoot are pretty isolated to a few areas, specifically in the U.S. anyways. You've got the northwestern U.S. and the southeastern U.S. as well, from what I've seen, and also the fact that we just recently had a sighting here in the southeastern U.S. I mean, so those two areas are some of the popular areas where Bigfoot has been quote-unquote spotted. So, I mean, we've recently had that spotting in Mammoth Cave in Kentucky, right outside of Bowling Green. And the way that the story's written is it could have been done better to portray the person that had spotted Bigfoot to not be so, I guess, crazy is what they made it sound like. But he apparently came back to his campsite and saw that it was completely destroyed, and had saw a creature that resembles the description of Bigfoot. And he went to one of his neighboring campsites and told them that they're in Bigfoot country now, and told them to be on the lookout. He said, "I've got a gun," and he flashed him his gun and said, "If you don't have one, just yell for me and I'll be over here." And I guess he had walked off and went back towards his campsite. And not too much longer after that, the campers claimed to have heard gunshots and yelling. So, I mean, that right there is... I mean, I guess if you're going to pull a gun and start shooting at something, you better hope that you know what you're shooting at.
No, I mean, I agree with that, too. And kind of to touch back on, you know, just even where Bigfoot came from, a lot of Bigfoot advocates say that that Bigfoot is a primitive offspring of, like, an ape.
Right.
So it's just, I mean, so I guess that would mean that it came before... Or no, it would come after the ape.
It's yeah, I would say like it'd be kind of like a borderline ape, Neanderthal, human
just
kinda kind
like
of
like the
thing.
Right in, but the little sketchy in-between part of that. And they believe that they migrated to North America during the Ice Age from Asia.
Right. Right, yeah. Now, that could be true as well. I mean, it's hard to say. You know, the Mammoth Cave incident, I guess, is, you know, really it's technically not a Bigfoot sighting because there's no evidence that a creature was seen, and it was just more or less the mere mention of apparently quite elusive forest dweller, and I guess that was enough to warrant the headlines and, of course, hyping up Bigfoot. And in February, hunters in Utah actually claimed to have captured the big old Sasquatch on camera just going across the mountain range. And in August of 2018, a man had claimed to see Bigfoot hopping a guardrail up in New York. So, I mean, with how many different sightings there are, to me it's just hard to believe that we don't have any solid photograph or video footage of Bigfoot that's scientifically able, or that, well, I guess anything can be doctored, but at the same time, it's hard for me to find belief in it.
Now, I know I've been definitely playing, like, the four Bigfoot side, you know, go Bigfoot, woohoo, you know, like this whole time. But I do want to say, because you did kind of bring science into this a little bit, the FBI actually just recently declassified their Bigfoot file, and I put that in quotations, because they did want to make sure that people did not think that the government was just all for this, that they were just putting a ton of money into this, that they believed there was a Bigfoot and millions was about to go into investigations on this creature.
Right.
Because that's not how it was. They were sent a sample from the Bigfoot Information Center and Exhibition in Dallas, Oregon, from director Peter
Byrne.
I probably just butchered that, but
we both did.
From the director Peter from this institute, he sent the FBI 15 hairs attached to a tiny piece of skin. So of course the FBI was like, you know what, we'll look into this, see what we could do. And they sent the sample back and they did testing on it, and they, you know, compared it to other samples that they had already had on file and things like that, and they said that the hairs were of deer family origin.
So in other words, the people that sent this this hair and skin to the FBI may have just hit a deer with their vehicle and pulled off the little hair and skin that comes with that.
No, I definitely don't think that's what happened. Because this was like, this guy was very credible. So I don't think that's something that he would have just...
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
...done, because he was one of the most prominent Bigfoot researchers at the time.
Okay. Well, I mean, and that makes sense, too. I'm just trying to play all ends of the spectrum,
oh, yeah.
I guess. You know, because me not knowing this gentleman, you know, it could be just like many other people. Maybe he did hit a deer. You know, I don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't there. But I mean, if he is a credible source, then you know, obviously there's stuff to look further into this.
Which I will say, like, I do give kudos to the FBI for being like, you know what, hey, we'll look into this for you, see what we can find. But they did send it back, and it wasn't from Bigfoot. It wasn't from anything that nobody's ever discovered before. It was simply a deer family origin.
So that would lead me to my next question. How did they find this sample?
That I could actually not find a lot on. He just said that he had this, basically just said that he had this sample and just sent it into the FBI.
Just a sample that he saw and was like, that's weird.
Yeah, I think it was just something that he had come across, and it didn't look like anything he had seen before. Especially finding a small piece of, like, animal flesh with just some hairs on it is kind of, to me, would be a little suspect anyways. Because usually if you find a carcass of an animal, you find more parts than just something so minuscule that it only has 15 hairs on it.
Let's just take a step back real quick and think of it this way. What if they were testing the wrong thing? They were testing the hairs to see what kind of animal this was.
Well, they tested everything. They tested the entire sample.
Did they check it for, like, saliva and stuff? See what may have... Because let's just say that maybe this sample came from a animal that Bigfoot ate.
Well, I will say this was in 1976, so...
Oh, the technology wasn't there for a lot of that stuff.
Yes. What they did was they analyzed a study of the morphological characteristics such as root structure, medullary structure, and cuticle thickness in addition to scale casts. So, I mean, for... I think the time in 1976.
That's a lot of stuff for the time.
Mm-hmm, they did what they could to this sample. And they did actually send the hair sample back to the director of, you know, this Bigfoot place.
Museum, I think.
Yeah,
I think it's a museum now.
The Bigfoot Information Center and Exhibition. So they sent the sample back. So, I mean, who's to say that they don't still have that sample somewhere? I mean, who's to say it would still be viable if it wasn't kept properly?
I'd say that it would probably be in some sort of state of decay to the point to where it's not viable anymore.
Because, I mean, if the FBI sent me something back that I sent to them and was like, hey, you know, you didn't find nothing crazy, I can't say that I wouldn't just pitch it.
Right.
Like, I don't want a piece of deer skin laying around. Like, no, thank you. That's gross. You know?
Yeah. Here, have a piece of skin.
You know, so, I mean, it might have gotten trashed, and, I mean, that might have been the only piece of evidence, hard evidence ever, but, I mean, the FBI did declare it as not from Bigfoot or any kind of unknown creature. So, we talked about the, you know, the FBI stuff. Now, my question for you, because you seem a little bit more skeptical about Bigfoot, why are you so skeptical, or why do you think that just this is not something that exists at all?
Well, see, I mean, this creature is possibly one of the most elusive creatures in the history of anything. You know, all that we have ever gotten of this creature is distorted, grainy photographs or videos that, or even just hearsay that, oh, I saw it, you know, so... There's nothing there for me as a skeptic to say, you know what? Yeah, that's probably legit. Because all I've ever seen on the internet is grainy pictures or footprints that could be easily mistaken for as a bear claw print. Or it could be something that's even handmade, like, oh, let's make this big footprint and put it on the news.
Kind of
you know, something like that. Because they could do that on movies.
I mean, they've had hoax situations, obviously, with Bigfoot. But I think that's with any lore. You're going to have people that basically make, like, a big fat joke about it. But for you, it's just the fact that there's no solid concrete. Here you go. This is what we have found on a for-sure creature that nobody knows anything about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if a credible source would be like, hey, look at these photographs. We found a Bigfoot, we captured it, and we're putting it in a zoo. Bigfoot's real. I'd be like, you know what? you're probably right. I guess it is. You know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I need myself, because, you know, just going off of these poor, distorted, poor quality, grainy photographs and videos, that just doesn't do it for me, because I've seen some that's, you know, you look at it, it's like, okay, well, that's probably a bear on all fours that's stretched out in kind of a weird shape, you know, so maybe it's a camera angle. You know, there's a number of things that it could be, or maybe it's a wild gorilla, or, you know, I mean, there's so many things that it could be, more so than it being Bigfoot, in my opinion.
Now, there was an investigator of the Conroe Police Department in Texas. His name's Jimmy... Oh my gosh, I'm going to butcher all these names.
Chilcutt.
Yes, thank you.
I think.
That is exactly, I think, what it is. But he specializes in finger and footprints. That's his specialty. That's what he does for a living.
Do you think he'd be able to look at it and say, oh, that's man-made, or oh, that's authentic?
Well, he's analyzed more than 150 casts of Bigfoot prints that this Idaho State professor keeps in the laboratory. The fingerprint and footprint analyst said that one footprint found in 1987 in Walla Walla in Washington State actually convinced him that Bigfoot is real.
And that was where?
That was in Walla Walla, in Washington State.
Can you say that again?
Walla Walla.
One more time.
Walla Walla.
Walla Walla. Say it 5 times really fast.
Walla 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 Walla.
I'm sorry, I had to do it. And Walla Walla.
But he said that the texture and the ridge flow pattern was different from anything he'd ever seen before. And you've got to think, he's looked at 150 of these just Bigfoot molds. That's a lot of molds to look through. And to see one that I think is completely distinctive, to me, is kind of a big deal.
So the other 149 of them, he was able to say, no, that's not Bigfoot?
Or... Those were almost kind of, I think, like you could pitch them because you couldn't really tell.
There wasn't unidentifiable, it was not Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he said it definitely wasn't human and of no known primate that he's ever examined.
Wow. I mean, that's... something like that could be more convincing. But at the same time, that, you know, that's still not enough, because that's just a print. You know, a footprint. That's not even, like... Okay, you know what? While I'm thinking about it, why haven't we found any corpses?
I mean, do they just run off and go to the darkest depths of a cave and die there or something? Or
we don't know what a life expectancy would be for something like that. What's the average life expectancy of your typical ape?
Lord, I don't know. I mean, if you're talking about life expectancy, if you're talking, you know, like a humanoid creature, you know, humans can live up to, I think, the oldest person that lived in recent times, I think, was in there right near 120 years old, and they recently passed away. So, I mean, you have to look at the 120 years old, then you look at a dog that lives like 15 years, which that's not humanoid, so that's obviously not really in the same spectrum.
Okay, so apes, different. I mean, obviously there's different categories of apes, but it's looking around 40, 45-ish years, typically.
Huh.
So, but who's to say that these creatures who are, you know, half ape, half human, whatever the combination of the 200, 300, 500 this thing is, who's to say that it doesn't just have a freakishly long lifespan?
Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, but I would also have to wonder, okay, do these creatures not get sick, and do they not have accidents, and, you know, accidentally fall from a tree while eluding, you know, nosy humans, and then fall to their death, or do they land on all fours like cats do? I mean,
who's to say that let's just call it a tribe, for lack of knowing what you would call a group of big feet,
a flock.
Would it be Bigfoots or big feet? Bigfoots. Anyways, a group or a herd or a whatever of big feet. Foots. I don't even know what to call them. A group of the creatures who's to say that they don't, who's to say that they don't, A, take them back and have, like, a burial ceremony for them? Because if they're part human, we do that. We bury our loved ones. We bury our kind. So who's to say they don't do the same thing? Or who's to say that they don't eat their own?
Oh, you just flipped this to a whole new morbid level.
I did. But, I mean, I'm just saying, like, who's to say that they don't do those things? Either bury the dead or eat.
I mean, I guess, you know, cannibalism is, you know, it's known in certain animals.
And it's an extremely primitive concept, which these creatures are known to be very primitive.
That's true. That's very true.
Sorry, I just came up with that.
Seriously?
I'm so proud of
myself. She just did the whole suck it thing, you know, from...
I did. Because I was, you know, you asked me that question. It was kind of like, you know what? Here's my theory. And I thought it was a pretty daggum good theory.
It is a good theory, but, I mean, that's still...
I mean, it's kind of morbid, but, I mean...
It is morbid, but I still keep... I see what you're doing, and I see how, you know, you're very smart, you're very intelligent.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And this is on recording, so, you know...
So you can pull it up later, but, like, see, I've always said nice things about you.
I always have. I always have, and now we have a bunch of witnesses. But no, I mean, at the same time, you still can't tell me that there's not one body that's been missed, one corpse that hasn't been missed that was close to humankind to find it. I mean, you know, that's, to me, that seems a bit far-fetched.
See, I don't. Because, like, when our loved ones are getting close to their time, they're usually close.
Yeah, but they're we stumble on dead bodies all the time that, you know... They went and had an overdose and landed in a creek or something, and then somebody found them. You know,
okay,
I mean.
Well, first off, I don't think these Bigfoot creatures are doing drugs.
Okay, heart attack. There we go. Sorry, my bad. They probably aren't doing drugs because they're probably smarter than us on that. But at the same time, cardiac arrest.
Which I see your point, but I don't believe that these things travel alone either. It's kind of like with like deer.
Right.
When the mama deer goes out with her babies, that buck is somewhere extremely close. It's just right out of eyesight.
Still see dead deer on the side of the road. Well, I guess deer can't technically pick up bodies.
Yeah, I mean...
Toss them up onto the antlers.
Yeah, deer can't do that. Like, but I feel like these things travel in packs. And they're not just, especially if they know that they're being hunted and sought after, almost as like this, like you want Bigfoot's head on a platter kind of thing. If they know that, I believe that they're not going to travel alone. They're going to travel in groups, and they're going to be extremely careful about what they do, where they go, and how they do it.
You can't say that Billy Joe Sasquatch, the one that annoys all the other Sasquatches, hasn't been kicked out of the group before, though. And had to walk alone because nobody liked him?
Or they killed him and ate him, like one of my theories would suggest.
Oh, I hate that Billy Joe Sasquatch. I'm going to eat him. He's dinner.
I mean, who's to say that's not how it works with them? They don't want to risk getting found, so they just kill off the weak and cook them for dinner. Like, I mean, I don't know. That's just kind of, I guess, my theory. Of how this would work.
Shishka Billy Bob.
I was a Sasquatch. I mean, that's probably what I would do.
Even though I think I said Billy Joe.
You did.
But for the sake of the joke, we'll say Billy Bob and Shishka Billy Bob.
There you go.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of unanswered questions about Bigfoot. You've got skeptics and you've got some people who just, with all of their might, believe that Sasquatch, Bigfoot, whoever is real.
Now, and I'm going to say, like, I am not pro Sasquatch, but I'm not, like, against the whole Bigfoot Sasquatch thing either. I'm in the middle. I definitely don't think that it's completely impossible.
Hmm. So what makes you believe that it's so possible?
I believe in a lot of things that are very kind of outside of the box. So to me, Sasquatch or Bigfoot or Yeti or whatever you want to call it, that is so close to not outside of the box as you could possibly get with lore, in my personal opinion.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you're comparing it to like a vampire or to a werewolf, which, speaking of werewolves, I think people have spotted those before.
But I mean, if we're talking about, yes, like things like that, Sasquatch, a Bigfoot, unicorn. That is so, to me, not far-fetched.
I agree that, you know, having a in between human monkey, you know, or Neanderthal, I think is the scientific term. I mean, yeah, that is more believable than a vampire
or a unicorn,
but at the same time, I just can't wrap my head around no one finding any evidence or seeing the packs or the whatever you want to call
them. I get your point completely. Like, I truly, truly do.
I hope so.
No, I do. But I am not like a diehard Bigfoot is real and Bigfoot is out there. But I'm also not closing off that belief either.
I wonder what their faces would look like. Do you think it'd be more of a gorilla or do you think it'd be more of a human?
I'm trying to think because we just recently went to, it's kind of like a museum type thing. And they had like the different skulls. From like,
oh yeah, yeah. There's like some borderline, like the Neanderthal skulls. Yes. It almost shows like monkey skull all the way to human skull and everything in between.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's that somewhere in between with like that kind of like that overbite with like the big, like the bigger forehead, but with more of
and
like
the big cheekbones,
but more of like a masculine jawline. Like those, right. I guess, are features that I would say they would have.
Now, that brings me to my next question, is you've got monkeys, you've got humans, and then you've got Bigfoot. So how do you think the line of evolution progressed for them? Like, how come there's three different, like, you know, creatures? Yeah, you got the monkeys, which are probably the least civilized of the three. Then you got Bigfoot, which I would only presume would be kind of in the middle, and then you got humans, which, you know, look at us, we're talking on electronic devices and being played on electronic devices. So, you know, where do you think that separation happened, or how do you think that separation happened, and why did one progress more than the other?
Well, let's say we go with the Ice Age theory. Let's just say that's kind of where we start.
Okay, so we'll start at the Ice Age.
So let's say that these apes apes of some sort before the Ice Age were around. So they learned those habits there.
Right.
They crossed over. They survived long enough for humans to come around. They saw how we were doing things, kind of how humans were adapting and growing. But they still had those primal instincts and those primal characteristics, but they took on some of the characteristics from things that they have seen.
But where did the humans come from? I mean,
that's a whole different podcast.
podcast. Just for the sake of not doing a whole nother podcast just this second, let's just say that humans came from the evolution of monkeys.
Okay.
So what would your theory be?
Okay, I see what you're saying.
On why there's three different groups. There's some that progressed literally zero and they're still a monkey. Then you got one that went, you know, about halfway to a human, but they didn't make it all that way. They're a Bigfoot. And then you've got humans. So why do you think one of the three went so far to where we're at?
Okay.
The other one of the three was, like, right in the middle, and they're a ninja. And then you've got the monkeys that have just stayed the same. If that's a theory that you would believe in.
I mean, that's a phenomenal question. And again, I'm not going to, like I said, that's a whole nother podcast. But for the sake of this podcast, I'm not going to be closed-minded to that theory either. I am very open-minded, but I would probably say that, I don't know, maybe just the way their brains developed was a little different. Maybe they took on more of those primal attributes instead of progressing into more of the human attributes.
Right, but adaptation would be something that would probably come to my mind. So my theory would almost be that, you know, the apes have
you know, never been able to live in an environment where they can, you know, kind of grow their mental capacity, and that it was always kind of like a hostile environment. Whereas humans may have gone to an area where they had to be innovative.
But apes are extremely intelligent.
No, they are.
Like, chimpanzees know sign language. Like, they can learn sign language and speak that way to humans. So, for me, there's really not a huge gap there.
It's just the vocalization.
Mm-hmm.
And,
because we don't know if these Bigfoot creatures speak. If they don't speak, I mean, they could have more attributes than what we are giving them credit for.
Who knows? Maybe maybe the monkeys are the smarter ones because they don't speak.
Who's to say we're not the Bigfoots that everybody's talking about?
I mean, who's to say? I mean, you never know, I guess, right?
I mean, you just might have a guy with long hair and you might mistake him for a Bigfoot. I mean,
it very well could be possible. I know some really tall, big people.
I mean, there's some basketball players that are shooting pretty high up there on the height scale. Like,
all right, riddle me this. Throw what's his name? The guy that plays Aquaman.
Jason Momoa.
Yeah, you throw him out in the woods with, like, little to no clothes.
Ooh, I'd go hunting for Bigfoot real quick. I'm just saying. I would go hunting for Bigfoot.
Not where I wanted to go with
this.
If you
take Jason Momoa with a loincloth on in the middle of the woods, I'm going to go looking for Bigfoot. I'm just saying.
Okay, a hairier version of him with an underbite.
If it's still got Jason Momoa's face, I'm still going to be going to look for that Bigfoot.
Man, you know, and no dissing to Mr. Momoa, because he could whoop my tail up and down the block, regardless of how he looks, I guess, because I know people made nasty comments about him lately. But he could still whoop anybody's tail, I'm sure. But he's not as attractive, which I guess I'm a guy, so maybe that's why I'm saying that. But I don't think he's as attractive as everyone else says he is.
He's a mighty fine man, I have to say that.
Well, if he listens to this podcast, maybe he'd come sweep you off your feet and give you a nice little autograph.
He has a beautiful wife and a beautiful family. So.
I didn't say do anything sexually. I mean, that's a good man of morals right there. So, okay, so you would go hunting. We did, but that's okay. That's what our podcasts are all about.
But what was your question about the... Because I completely lost my train of thought when you had asked that.
Oh, when I talk about Jason Momoa, you just went far left field and we couldn't come back.
So what was your initial question?
Well, you know what? I think you might have gotten me flabbergasted about Jason Momoa now, because I can't even think of what I was trying to say. Well, okay. So I think I know where I was going with that. You know,
take two.
Yeah, take two. So, I mean, that, like you said, that maybe we're the big feet. I mean, if you have a Jason Momoa, uglier version of Jason Momoa walking out in the woods, he's just not part of civilized humans, mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of a wanderer, nomad kind of thing, then I guess, you know, throw a little bit of extra hair on him, maybe that could be mistaken for Bigfoot. Maybe it's just uncivilized humans.
You know, now, like, I feel like that one's a little bit more far left field theory-wise, but, in the same token, I mean, who's to say that's not what it is?
I mean, it very well could be, because there are tribes all across the world that are still living without running water or electricity. So, I mean, who's to say that maybe that's just like the deep mountain men and women of the Americas? I mean, they've got tribes everywhere else. Why not America?
Yeah, because there is still sacred land. I don't think there's much left, but there is still land that is sacred and preserved, and who's to say that that's not where they're living? Places that we're not allowed to go.
True, or that's hard for us to get to. That's exactly. Not practical for civilized human to go to. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot to think on. And you know, we'd love to hear any of our listeners' opinions on Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Jason Momoa.
not so much Jason Momoa. I mean, I guess if you want to throw it in the comments, go for it. But, you know, we want to hear what y'all's point of view is on Sasquatch or Bigfoot. Is he real? Or he, she, it? Is it real? Is it just a bunch of hoopla? Or, you know, whatever. Just let us know in the comments.
Or if anybody has any Bigfoot stories they want to share, put those in the comments. Because we love reading stuff like that. We love hearing about viewers' experiences or, you know, thoughts and theories on the stuff that we talk about.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, huge community engagement. Join on our podcast. You know, leave us comments. We'll you know, who knows, maybe we'll come back to this topic in another podcast, and who knows, maybe your name will be in the podcast because we're reading one of your comments.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll leave it there for you, and just take that and ponder on it a little bit. Think about you know, what your thoughts are on this legend, lore, or ancient story. Ancient being early 1800s, apparently. So, but as always, you know, be sure to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our podcast, find us on Patreon, support our podcast, helps us, you know, keep doing what we're doing, and we appreciate all of it. But that's all the time that we have for this podcast episode, and we look forward to hearing from you next time.